The first reading is Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives us all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeemed your life from the pit and crowned you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Second reading is from Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
The third reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Now this morning we're going to reflect a little bit on the fruit of the Spirit following on from Ian's talk last week. We've already heard yesterday at Messy Church, we were talking about remembering. The people of Israel had actually forgotten really what God had done for them. Forgotten what he had, the way he had asked them to live, and they found themselves being taken into exile, and then they became very sad because then they actually realized life was better the way God had asked them to live and to be with him, and he promised then to take them back later. But I wanted to start with Psalm 103 because it reminds us to tell our souls to praise the Lord and forget not all his benefits. So if I could have the first... Oh, thank you. Thank you, Marianne, you're ahead of me. We probably know it better, actually, in the King James Version, because we sometimes sing a song, I think, that relates around it. But in there, it's what Peter was talking about. It's, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagle. He's actually urging his soul not to forget. His soul meaning his mind, his will, and his emotions. Not to forget, because it's so easy, I think. We become Christians, we can ask Jesus into our lives, we can ask to be filled with his Holy Spirit, and we notice a difference. Last week, Ian was saying that people noticed a difference in him. He said that one of the differences he noticed was that other people noticed was that he had stopped swearing. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. And once we're temples of the Holy Spirit, and God lives in us in the person of his Holy Spirit, we find it very hard to do some of the things that we were doing before we became Christians, swearing being one of them. That was something that they found with the Welsh miners during the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the early part of last century. People were becoming convicted as they were walking along the streets, and the miners stopped swearing, so much so that the pit ponies didn't know how to behave anymore because they were so used to being sworn at for their instructions, they didn't know what to do. And so it is something that changes us. I can remember changes that took place in me, just little things, and God's very gentle. He doesn't convict you and then sort of make you feel guilty about things, but I used to be very good at walking by on the other side and not helping was something that was of my nature, not because I was particularly unkind. I just thought, well, someone else would do it. It doesn't have to be me. And very gently, after I became a Christian, God put little things in place that I thought, I need to respond to that. And they weren't hard things. He never gives us hard things. But they were things that was making me change. Things that convict us of sin. I was also convicted of premarital sexual relations, if you like, with my husband, that had been my instigation. But people, Christians told me that actually that's not helpful. That's something that you need to confess. It's not really God's way. And I didn't really understand, but I understand more now. Other things were just the way of the world. The world says things are okay so long as you're not hurting anybody else. And then, like the children at school say, well, it's okay because everyone else is doing it. And then other things, well, it's okay so long as it's not hurting anybody, and it's okay if you can get away with it. And that's almost the way of the world. And we have to become different. And the fruit of the Spirit is where these gentle convictions start to begin to happen in our lives. At our network group on Thursday evening, we were reflecting on the fruit of the Spirit. If I could have the third reading up, verse 12, the second part of that, I think. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we've been translated, it'll say in other versions, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and now we're being asked to live as in the kingdom of light because of who we are in Christ. At the beginning of the third reading, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So when we're of the world, there are a lot of good things, but now God has a higher standard for us, not just to be good, but to be holy. I thought it would be helpful if we looked at a spiritual checklist. Now, this is based on the fruit of the Spirit, and it's courtesy of a man by the name of Scott Williams, Family Life. And it reminds me of a time when John Bevere had decided that God had really convicted him of something, and he really needed to change. And so the time that he really needed to was in dealing with this other person. And after he had done it, he was really proud of himself that he had done this with a smile on his face. And he said to God, there you are, I managed it. And I had a smile on my face. And God said to him, yes, but you were complaining in your heart. And so I think what God wants us to do is to display these fruits of the Spirit from a changed heart. So we're doing it in his strength and not in our own. And this man, Scott Williams, says that there was a time, he says it sort of related to things in real life. So there was a seasoned marathoner, somebody who runs a marathon, had just crossed the finish line with an impressive time when he suffered a heart attack and died. And he said, from the outside, he looked to be the picture of health, but a fatal condition was hiding on the inside. And so he said, each of these characteristics of the Holy Spirit's active presence in our daily activities, let's look at each one and ask some diagnostic questions to make sure we're healthy. So he goes through each one, and then there's a question. So the first one, he said, love. Now, this is God's love. It's not our way of loving, in a way. It's a deliberate attitude of goodwill and devotion to somebody else, whether we want to do it or not, but because there's a need. And so it's what's known as agape love. But it is sacrificial for us, really, because we might not want to do it. So the question is, am I motivated to do for others as Christ has done for me, or am I giving in order to receive something in return? That's the first one. And then the second one, actually, Marianne, could we have, yes, we were going to remember these, weren't we? That's the one. So the second one, joy. He says, joy is gladness that's completely independent of the good or bad things that are happening in our lives. So it's deep in our spirits, supernatural gladness given by God's Spirit. He said, it actually seems to show up best during the bad times, the hard times. Fixing our focus on God's purposes rather than our circumstances. So it doesn't mean that we're having a wonderful life. It means that deep in our spirits, we can experience this joy, which is really hope that God will cause things to work for good. Question, am I experiencing a joy of life on a regular basis, or is my happiness dependent on things going smoothly in my day? The next one is peace. Again, this is supernatural peace. Jesus promised to give us his peace. It's not what we would consider peace of mind. The world gives us peace of mind when things are going well, or something's worked out to our benefit, but this is not the absence of turmoil, but the presence of tranquility, that we know that God controls the events of the day. So the question, do I find myself frazzled by the crashing waves of turmoil in my life, or am I experiencing the peace that passes all understanding? He says, patience. Ability to enjoy ill treatment from life at the hands of others without lashing out or paying back or speaking our mind. So question, am I easily set off when things go wrong or people irritate me, or am I able to keep a God's perspective in the face of life's irritations? The next one up there, kindness. Ways to adapt to the needs of others. A moral goodness that overflows, or the absence of malice is what he's got here. The question, is it my goal to serve others with kindness, or am I too focused on my own needs, desires, or problems to let the goodness of God overflow to others? And then goodness. Goodness, he says, reflects the character of God. All these fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is all the character of God. And goodness reflects his character. Goodness is our desires to see goodness in others. It could be even along the lines of gently confronting or rebuking, as Jesus had to do with the money changers in the temple. But the question is, does my life reflect the holiness of God? And do I desire to see others experiencing God at a deeper level in their own lives? Faithfulness. He says, our natural self always wants to be in charge. Spirit-controlled faithfulness is evident in the life of a person who seeks good for others and glory for God. Question, are there areas of hypocrisy and indifference towards others in my life? Or is my life characterized by faith in Christ and faithfulness to those around me? Gentleness. He says, gentleness is not without power. It chooses to defer to others, forgives others, corrects with kindness, lives in tranquility. Question, do I come across to others as pushy and headstrong, or am I allowing the grace of God to flow through me to others? And then self-control, our fleshly desires. Scripture tells us are continually at odds with God's Spirit, and always want to be in charge. releasing our grip on the fleshly desires, choosing instead to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, power focused in the right place. So question, are my fleshly desires controlling my life, or am I following the Spirit to direct me to the things that please God and serve others? So God's standard is high, isn't it? But he helps us, and the change is gradual. And as he convicts us, then we can change gradually. And when we forget, he will gently remind us of who we are in Christ, a holy people, a holy people dearly loved. We're citizens of heaven. We belong to Jesus. And so our last thing is that we're asked to walk by the Spirit. And the question is here, am I actively depending on the Holy Spirit to guide me in God's ways so I don't get wrapped up in myself? And if not, am I willing to confess to God that his ways are better than mine and that I need the Spirit's guidance to live above the fray? There's a whole book called Living Above the Snake Line, which is again a similar thing, to live above the areas of the kingdom of darkness as opposed to where we've been translated to, the kingdom of light, and not keeping feet in both kingdoms. It's very difficult. But what really spoke to me in the readings this morning were the prayers that Paul was praying in the second reading. If I could have that, Marianne, at the beginning of that. He says, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So we had an ongoing prayer. As if we prayed for each other in this way, I doubt whether we do. I must confess, I don't. If I'm praying for people, I don't necessarily. I try to pray scripture into their lives, but this ongoing, continually praying. So now, just at the end of this talk, I will pray now and incorporate these prayers into what we've heard this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even when we don't walk by the Spirit, you very gently convict us of things that are not in proper order in our lives, to draw us back to yourself, to keep us close to you. We thank you, Father, that you empower us through your Holy Spirit to live above ourselves and live the abundant life for which you have created us. And so we ask, Father, that you fill us with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and understanding that your Holy Spirit gives, so that we may live a life worthy of you, Heavenly Father, and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of you, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience and give joyful thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for you have qualified us to share in the inheritance of your holy people in the kingdom of light. You have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son you love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so we ask that the message of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and that we sing in our hearts with gratitude to you, Heavenly Father, and that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.